Have any of you ever been to Niagara Falls? Show of hands. Okay, so a lot of you. It's a pretty amazing place to be. Last March of 2016, my wife Brandy and I got to go to Niagara Falls for the very first time. We were celebrating our 20th wedding anniversary. All right, thank you. 9:15 didn't clap, so I just want to thank you. In fact, let's close in prayer right now, because it's a good thing. Whenever I tell people that we've been married 21 years, people stop and they start to do the math in their head. So let me just help you out. I was married when I was 13 years old, so that will give you a little clue of my age. If you've ever been to Niagara Falls, you know that it is a captivating experience to be there. The sheer power, the sheer force of the water that plummets over that bank down to the water below. I'm told that it's 6 million cubic feet per minute, which is the equivalent of one Olympic-sized swimming pool every second. It is awesome. You hear it, you see it, you feel the mist around you. The most impressive thing is just the sheer power that comes down. But the second thing that I was struck with was the effects of that power, the wide-ranging effects. In the museum close by, you can discover how the force of that water shapes and erodes and changes the rocks beneath it. But the most obvious wide-reaching effect of this power is the mist. The fine mist that spreads throughout that small town and city, even blocks away, you can feel it, you breathe it in. Tourists come out of their hotel and their hair is all done up just perfectly with hairspray and volume. The women too. And they come out and the humidity just seems to ruin their hair and it goes flat. It's the power, but the effects of that power which are felt in wide-reaching ways. Today we're going to look at a story about power that comes down from above. It's more impressive and more spectacular than Niagara Falls. It is the power of the Holy Spirit. We're in the middle of a series called The Spirit-Filled Life. And up until this point, we have been talking about the Holy Spirit. We have been talking, listening to Jesus' words, when the Spirit comes, we have been waiting. And today in the story, we don't have to wait any longer, because on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes down. And not only is the power of the Spirit descending spectacular, but it has wide-ranging effects on the followers of Jesus and on the world. What did it look like when the Spirit came down? Well, let's find out. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts chapter 2. It's going to be on the screen as well in front of you. This is God's word. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Verse 13, some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Let's take a moment to pray. So, Spirit of God, we are back learning and discovering about the promise and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Would you this morning take us back to the day of Pentecost? Would you take us back there to see and to feel and to hear and to experience the descent of your Spirit? And more than that, would you help us to experience the power of the Spirit in our lives? A power which changes us. A power which changed the disciples, and a power with which we welcome and long for. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Some people get nervous when this passage of Scripture is read. Why? Probably has to do with the gift, the sign of tongues. That is, the speaking in a language that you have never studied and do not know. And questions arise, is that for every believer? Is that the first sign of the Spirit? Is that a sign of the Spirit? Those are all important and worthy questions. But as I've sat with this text this week, that's not the central concern. The central concern and miracle of this text is how a small group of 120 believers who are scared, they have lost their leader, they have no clear direction for the future, they have no social or political influence in their world, they have become marginalized and are fearfully, in a sense, gathered in the upper room, how when the Spirit comes, it transforms them. It changes them from fear-filled followers to faith-filled missionaries, spokespeople, ambassadors of Jesus, who don't cluster in a small little room in safety, but go out onto the streets, they go out to their neighbors, they go out to the nations of the world, boldly proclaiming the good news of Jesus. And in a very short time, this group of followers, empowered by the Spirit, turns the world upside down. That's the book of Acts. This same Spirit that descended on these followers, that same Spirit is the same Spirit that descends in our lives. What does that look like? What does the Spirit give us power to do? We're going to explore this for a few moments under just two basic movements. One, we're going to look at when the Spirit descends. When the Spirit comes down upon those original disciples of Jesus and upon us, what does that look like? What are the symbols in this passage? And secondly, when the Spirit descends, we're going to see that the Spirit also sends. That there is a movement in this passage from the upper room that spills out onto the streets and into the city. And before long, it has reached the corners of the known earth. When the Spirit descends in our lives, the Spirit also sends us out. Let's look at these briefly. First, the Spirit descends. In verse 2, suddenly they were all together in one place, and a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. What is the meaning of the wind and the fire? Well, did you know that in the Old Testament, whenever God showed up, whenever God revealed his personal and empowering presence, the holy, magnificent, beautiful, wonderful, sometimes frightening personal presence of God, he appeared in wind and in fire. These symbols mean that God himself, the very personal presence of God, now comes and rests and dwells in every single believer. Male and female, old and young, mature, immature, it doesn't matter. The Spirit comes and is the living presence of God in us. And that presence of God in us changes us. One of the most memorable stories from the Old Testament about God meeting a human being happens in the book of Exodus, and it's the story of Moses. Moses is tending his flocks one day, and he sees an unusual sight. It's a bush that is burning. Remember, fire represents the very presence of God. And as Moses gets closer, he realizes that this bush is not being consumed. And as he gets closer, the Lord speaks to him and says, "Moses, don't take another step. I am the God of your forefathers. The ground you're standing on is holy ground. Moses, the Lord has come to meet Moses with his personal presence. And the story of Pentecost tells us, friends, that we get to experience something that Moses never did. Moses got close to the fire, but he couldn't get too close. But on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, the empowering presence of God, comes and lives in us. Tim Keller, pastor and author, says, "We have become the burning bush. We have become the place that God's Spirit comes and lives and dwells." And just as God would later send Moses back to Egypt on a mission, so the Spirit comes into our lives and sends us on the mission of Jesus. You know, last week there was this interesting story that hit the news here in Vancouver. People from all around the world were gathered at BC Place and started lining up on Tuesday morning, Tuesday afternoon. Anyone know why people from all around the world were gathered at BC Place lining up on Tuesday? It was the U2 concert, which happened on Friday. They were gathering on Tuesday for a concert that happened on Friday. Why would they do that? They had tickets. They had tickets to get in, guaranteed. Was anybody in that lineup? Yeah, right over here. Why line up? Did you line up Tuesday? You went on Friday. All right, doesn't count. You just ignore that, please. You're supposed to help the point of the sermon along, you know. People were gathering Tuesday. Were you on the floor? Okay, so how far away were you from the stage? Not close enough. Not close enough. Okay, now it's working now. It's working. Thank you. People were lining up on Tuesday because they had seats for the floor, and it's kind of first come, first serve in terms of how close to the stage you can get. And this woman was interviewed in the Vancouver Sun. She said, being far away is just not the same. There's this desire in us to be as close as we can to greatness, to what we perceive of as greatness. And all through the scriptures, people long to be close to God. And on the day of Pentecost, what happens? Greatness comes down and lives in us. The holy fire, the presence of God comes and lives in us. And here's the effect that happens is the Spirit helps us to overcome our fears. The Spirit helps us to move out and to proclaim the good news of Jesus through both our words and our actions. And he helps us to overcome our natural fears. Let's move to this second movement, which is the most important, is how when the Spirit descends, the Spirit also sends us out. As I was looking at this passage, I was realizing it started in the upper room, but somehow, somewhere along the lines, the Spirit moved the people out onto the streets. And a few verses later, they appear to be either at the temple or at a kind of town square where Peter is preaching. And within a few more verses and chapters, we'll see that the Spirit descends and then sends God's people out all over the world. So friends, here's the movement, is when the power of the Spirit comes, the Spirit sends us out, sends us to neighbors, sends us to the nations of the world. Now, if you're like most people, that causes a little bit of fear and anxiety. I wonder if as the people of God were meeting and the Holy Spirit fell on them and they started moving out from the upper room, the safety of the upper room, a place where they probably knew most other people, where they believed the same kinds of things, where they were the same culture, I wonder if there was some hesitation. I wonder if just before they moved out into the streets, if somebody stood up and said, wait a minute here, we're not properly trained to go out and share the good news of Jesus. We need to have a training seminar first. I wonder if people thought, this doesn't make any sense. There's foreigners outside. We don't speak their language. How are we going to make any sense? How are they, anything we say going to make sense to them? Do you see all these barriers that potentially could have been in place? Do you think that anybody said, you know, we're not really trained enough in the scriptures? I wonder if anybody said, I'm not really extroverted enough to do that kind of work. Let me stay in the upper room where it's a bit safer. And what we see is the Holy Spirit comes and helps us to speak God's word to our neighbors and to our world. Maybe the most basic definition of Pentecost, the most basic meaning, is that God wants to speak through you. And the Spirit will come and help overcome any barriers, any anxieties, any fears that you have to be able to do that. One of the verses that I included here is verse 13. Some made fun of them and said, they have had too much wine. Why would Luke include that verse? Why would we include it? Because what happens when you have too much wine? You feel a little less fearful. You lose some of your inhibitions and you share things a little more freely. Now, there are differences between having too much wine and being filled with the Spirit. Just want to get that out there, okay? There are differences. There are important differences. When we're filled with too much wine, we lose our inhibitions, but we also may do stupid things. But Paul will pick this up and he says, if you want to be under the influence of something, don't be filled with wine. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will come and help you to overcome all of your inhibitions, will help you to love people that you're not normally drawn to. The Spirit will take your words and will do something incredible. We'll translate them so that people hear it and understand it. You see, that's the central miracle here is they go out and they just begin to proclaim the wonders of God, and the Spirit translates that so that people get it and hear it. And people hear the good news in their own language and go, wow. Last week at East Van, we prayed for and commissioned a young man named Sean Liu. Sean is passionate about languages and has studied languages as a recent graduate of Regent College. And Sean was telling me that he's passionate about people hearing the gospel in their own native language. That the reason people were so captivated here was because there's something about a message in your own language that goes straight to your heart. And so this summer, as the Spirit has led Sean, he's going to be joining Wycliffe Bible Translators. He's going to be placed in a community, in a cultural ethnic group with its own distinct language, one that he does not know, and he will go in and first learn the language and build trust with the people, and in time, as he learns the language, he will then translate the scriptures into their language so they can hear the gospel in their own language, and it will touch them in their hearts like nothing else. The Spirit takes our efforts, whether it's doing something like Sean or simply going next door, and takes our feeble efforts, our weak efforts, efforts that we feel this may not even work, and he takes them and he translates them so that people can hear the good news of Jesus Christ. There's a story in the scriptures in the Old Testament that tells us what happens when we refuse to go out. When we refuse to be sent out in the power of the Spirit, and we decide instead to build walls of protection and safety. It's a story of, it's called the Tower of Babel. You may remember it from Genesis 11. God had invited people as part of his cultural mandate to go out and to fill the earth, in a sense to be scattered all over the earth, almost like a gardener, you know, somebody telling a gardener, go and use the whole garden. But people resisted. Because of fear, we find out in Genesis 11, they said this, come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we might make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth. in fear, in the posture of protecting themselves, they decided not to be scattered throughout the earth, but to build walls, to build protective walls, to stay with their own people. And when you read this story, you come away with this devastating consequence that there is confusion, the community disintegrates. It's a disaster. And here's what the Spirit of the living God does. He doesn't invite us to turn in on ourselves, to stay safe, to protect ourselves with people who are just like us, who think like us, who are the same language and the same culture. But the Spirit is always inviting us to move beyond those walls, to move outward, to see how we might go in the power of the Spirit to proclaim the good news of Jesus, to befriend people outside of our normal social circles. The Spirit does something amazing. Last week, if you were here, you heard from Ray Matheson. Ray is a pastor in Calgary, and he's the father of Dan Matheson, our site pastor at Kitsilano. Dan was telling me that his parents, a few years ago, came to Vancouver to go on an Alaska cruise. And as they got on there, Dan's dad was struck by people coming from every nation all over the world to Vancouver to get on this cruise. And Dan's dad, Ray, was just struck with, it seems to me that a lot of people don't know about Jesus Christ. A lot of people don't know the good news, the hope that we can have in God. And so he had this idea, and he ran it by his wife. He said, what if I went to the cruise director and offered a Bible study? And it would be open, and anybody could come. And Dan's mom, Dee, a woman full of faith, said, that's a terrible idea. For starters, it's a cruise. I mean, people are in a different mode. They're in holiday season. They're not going to come to a Bible study. Secondly, more importantly, you need a break. This is what you do, and this is an opportunity for rest. So it's a terrible idea. Ray took that advice under judgment and yet felt the Spirit prompting him to do something. So he went to the cruise director and said, would it be okay if we hosted a Bible study? Cruise director said, sure. Here's the room, the small room that you can have, and we'll put it in the daily activity listing. The first day, 12 people show up to the Bible study. The second day, 25 people show up to the Bible study. The third day, 80 people show up to the Bible study. And on the final day of the cruise, 300 people came to the Bible study. The cruise director said, we're going to actually give you one whole deck on the ship. And one of the jazz singers, performers, heard about it and said, I could come and play music for you. Sometimes when we just step out in humility, the Spirit does amazing things. The Spirit does miraculous things that we couldn't even anticipate. I'm sure there was some hesitation on Ray's part. I'm sure there was, and the stories don't always turn out this way. You know that. But sometimes when we just step out in obedience and say, God, who are you sending me to? And then just watch what the Spirit does. Amazing things happen. Sometimes we're called not to go to the nations, but to our neighbors. Darren and Rachel Wong are members of our East Van community, and they were telling me that as they were sensing the Spirit's work in their life, they were drawn to see how they could connect with their neighbors. If you're going to love your neighbor, it probably starts by getting to know them, getting to know their names, having a conversation, maybe a meal together. They had this idea. In the condo building they live downtown, nobody seems to talk to each other. They don't really know any of their neighbors. They said, what if we organized a Christmas potluck? We'll announce it at the upcoming AGM. Well, the AGM comes, and people are fighting and bickering and complaining. Sounds like a typical condo AGM, you know what I mean? Darren says that the tone of the place was terrible. I was so thinking, how do I get out of this? I don't want to say anything. This is not going to work. There's animosity in the air. And Darren says, with a trembling voice and sweaty palms, I stood up and said, what if we organized a Christmas potluck? And he shared his idea, and instantly the tone of the room changed. The day of the Christmas potluck comes in, and Darren and Rachel are there alone in the social room. And slowly, neighbors start to pour in. And so many neighbors come that they have to move out of the common room down into the lobby of their building. The conversation was alive with friendship, with connection, with people saying, I've seen you in the elevator, but we've never actually met. Introducing, he said, a sense of community has begun to develop. Sometimes when the Spirit moves us out, we just need to respond in simple ways of connecting with those right around us. Last Sunday, after Jay Ewing's sermon, a woman came to me, and I had been praying for her, and she had told me about her friend who had gone through a very traumatic loss in her family. She had recently lost her husband, and the way in which he died was particularly traumatic and violent and disturbing and sudden. And this woman who came to me had been praying for her friend, and she's a bit of a sensitive soul herself, and so this was very difficult for her just to come to terms with what had happened. But she told me that as she thought about her friend, now widow, she said, I need to do something. I need to go and be with her. And for a few nights, she went over and stayed at their home, and she told me, that's not something I would normally do. I felt all kinds of hesitation and fear in that, and yet I sensed that God was filling me up to go and do something I wouldn't normally do. Here's the work of the Spirit in our lives, is overcoming fear, overcoming anxiety, moving us out and beyond our usual social circles. Friends, I wonder, as we think about the Spirit descending and sending us out, I wonder if you're in a life group, in a friendship group, in a social circle where, you know, things are good. There's friendship, there is the joy of being together with people who are like us. There's support, there's all kinds of gifts in that kind of community. I've been a part of many of those communities. A Bible study, a small group. And yet I wonder if the Spirit might be prompting us to say, who else can we include here? How might we open this social circle up? How might we go beyond what's safe and comfortable? And how might the Spirit be sending us out to be ambassadors, to live out the good news of Jesus in some simple way? How might the Spirit be prompting us to include others? To conclude, I want to take you back to the upper room. Because for any of this to happen, for the Spirit to send us out, we need to come in a posture of receiving, in a posture of humility, and to invite the Spirit to come again into our lives in a fresh way. Now, I know when we talk about receiving the Spirit, some people tell me this. They say, well, Jade, I've already received the Spirit. I'm a follower of Jesus, and that means that the Holy Spirit already lives in me. And you are absolutely correct. But what I've found is that we can receive the Spirit in very different ways. When someone comes to my house and rings the doorbell, and it's a close friend I haven't seen for a long time, it's family from out of town who are staying with us, it's friends of my kids, we welcome them with great joy. Sometimes there's hugs at the front door, we bring their stuff in, we have something to eat together, we talk, we celebrate. It's a wholehearted receiving. But there's another way to receive people. See, a few weeks ago, I was watching Stanley Cup playoffs, very important for me. My team was playing, I had my jersey on, and it was the national anthems, and the doorbell rings. And it's somebody from a BC political party who wants to come and share the whole platform of their party with me. Did I receive them? Sort of. Did we talk for a moment? Yes. Did I say, can I just have the pamphlet and go watch hockey, please? Yes. Did I acknowledge they were there? Yes. But it wasn't a wholehearted receiving. And friends, I wonder if the Holy Spirit is asking to be welcomed into our lives again in a fresh way. We don't welcome the Spirit and say, yeah, technically you're already there, so we're all good. No, we welcome the Spirit wholeheartedly and say, Spirit, come and descend into my life. Come and live. Come and dwell in every room of my life. Come and have your way. Holy Spirit, descend with power into me in a fresh way and send me out. I'm terrified of it, but send me out so that others may know too. Let's take a moment to pray. Friends, take a moment just to talk to the Lord about your fears, your anxieties, your hesitations. As we talk about the Spirit sending us, what comes to mind? Take a moment to be honest with the Lord about your fears. And now, can you also take a moment to, in your own words, if it's your desire, to welcome the Spirit into the home of your life? Tell the Spirit how you long for the Spirit to come in a fresh way, in a new way, to come with all of His power into your life again. Holy Spirit, come in afresh. Transform us. Renew us. Open our hearts and our mouths to be proclaiming the wonders of God. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.